Meet Phil Sklar, co-founder of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum.
Our dream is to make Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the bobblehead capital of the world.
At American Family Insurance, we believe your dreams are the most valuable things you will ever own. So today, we're supporting Phil's dream.
If people would like to be a part of the bobblehead dream, we take donations in money or bobbleheads.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find yours at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
What is your first name?
Radio.
Tim, we could talk about that on the air even.
Hello?
Welcome to Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis. I'm Jason Levanis, and each week as a public service, I will be doing free mini readings live on the air, teaching and demystifying on the subject of the tarot, as well as other metaphysical topics of interest. I can be reached for private one-on-one spiritual guidance and feng shui consultation through my website, which is www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. Now hide your children, because the titillations are coming at you right now. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone. It is c'est moi, Jason Levanis of Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis. I am beyond titillated, beyond psyched today for my show. I promised myself I wouldn't say too much today. However, I'm a little in awe of this person. But before I get to the meat of this evening's program and this genesis, I want to give a big nod and call out to Janet Hickox, my blue-eyed goddess, who is in the background producing and screening calls for me right now. Janet, if you'd like to pop on, you can, but if you're busy, I get it. Hello.
I'm here. Hey.
I'm here. We are here.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
We are.
Yes. How you doing, lady?
Better.
Wonderful. For everybody out there, we seem to be having some wonderful, fun, glitchy issues with Blog Talk Radio. So be patient with us. You'd think that Mercury was in retro again or something. Janet, can you do me a favor and tell all of my illustrious listeners where they can benefit like I have for your human design and astrological readings?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I am reached through my website at www.living-astrology.com. Or, of course, you can always go on Facebook if you're a Facebook kind of person and find my page, Living Astrology, and or my email address, janet@living-astrology.com. And, Jason, you
Fantastical.
Should share then how they can get a hold of you. And I'm actually going to type
yes.
that in the chat.
All right, lady. As it says in my intro, I put it in there so that I didn't have to be like a parrot. But I do whatever the hell Janet tells me. Otherwise, thunderbolts of lightning, very, very frightening. You can get in touch with me at www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. I know that was very fast. You're all going to have to excuse me, but I am just frothing with excitement today and energy. And, you know, you'd think I wouldn't be, Janet, because it is 80 bejesus degrees here today. I am melting. I'm in the room here on the online studio, and I've got the fan in, and you know what? I knew we were going to have these two 80-degree days that are going to be coming up, and you think I got my lazy ass up and put the air conditioner in?
No.
No. So now I'm sweating it to the oldies. Yeah, I'm sweating it to the oldies. And what can I tell you? Tonight is largely due to Janet, who has introduced me to so many wonderful souls so far. Last week, we highlighted the United Intentions Foundation, Inc., and or this wonderful man by the name of .org. This wonderful man by the name of Tim Ray, who we have in the background waiting for us, but I need to gush a little bit more. And I need to also, before I bring him in, all right, everybody out there, I need to come clean. I'm going to say it right here. I'm going to say it right now. I have a fucking bromance. It's my newest bromance. I don't know whether my feelings are reciprocated. I get the feeling, yes. I want to make it very clear that he's extremely straight, and whereas I am not. However, I still have a man crush on this. I met him last week on Janet's show, and I was overwhelmed at his, first of all, his energy, his charm, his love, his ability to entertain. He has an infectious laugh, and to be honest with you, he gave a jewel of information that was so... Scott Peck, doctor, is it Dr. Gregory Scott? Is it, help me out here, Janet.
Hello. Are you talking about Tim? Or
No, I want to talk about the Gregory Peck. Is it Dr. Gregory Scott Peck?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The life less traveled.
Oh, the road less traveled.
The road less traveled. I can't remember the exact. I'm trying to give due to the author. But in it, he discusses these things called peak moments, which talk about a peak in an insight into something, and something that comes to a head. Well, this guy, Tim Ray, he floored me last week on Janet's show. And so this is really very last minute. So that's why the promos went out last minute. And I decided to bring him in on the death card. Dun, dun, dun. Card number 13 that I have been going. This is episode number 6. This is groundbreaking, folks. And I promise next week. I promise next week that it'll be the last of death. It's getting a little moribund around here. I'm tired of talking about it. And if you don't get the message by this point, ain't never going to get it. No how, no where. However, I have Tim Ray on this evening, and I'm going to hype all of his stuff in a moment. But I wanted to try and make the liaison, the leap of understanding the reason why he's in on this death card. So what we've discussed thus far is really at the long and the short of it, synthesize down, take all the archaic bullshit out of the way. It's all about, the death card's all about losing ego, spiritually dumping the ego. When this happens, the byproduct is that you become truly spiritual. You've gotten out of the me and the I, and you've gotten into the all collective. And that's just lovely. And that is, in fact, what happens in this death card. Because of this understanding that the ego has to die, and then therefore it means that the physical realm connected to the ego must then disappear in order to give way to the spiritual. Because we've talked about falling from grace and all that other happy horseshit, but in order to have existed in the physical world, you need to drop out from the spiritual. Spiritual takes the rest, lets you go through the veil of forgetfulness. You experience on a physical level in hopes of becoming actualized. And so then you say to yourself, oh, that's what this card is about, becoming actualized. Well, here's my... And I wonder if I am, Janet, it might be interesting to try and Google this and find out. I wonder if I am the first person to make this connection metaphysically. And I think it would be interesting to look into this. The way I see it is this. What Tim Ray said last week was, in essence, you got to know what is going on with your subconscious mind, people. so that your real, true reality of what you experience is in sync with this creative or wanted reality that is theoretically spiritually based. So here's the connection. When you start to come from spirit, what is spirit? What is the soul? The spirit and the soul to me are the same thing. It's the same jargon. More so that the soul communicates in images. I've discussed this already from previous cards. Not in words, not in music, not in, it communicates, the soul learns, records, and dwells the spirit with images. But moreover, I'm going to substitute the word spirit or soul for subconscious. And I believe I'm the first person to maybe make this association, because in fact, your subconscious is your spirit, is your soul. It's the mechanism through which it is expressed, through the dream state, through the images. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
So we are with you, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is because of this, it is because of this I attempt. It is because of this understanding that I have Tim Ray on the phone, Mr. Tim, and I would like to tell everybody, instead of making you repeat like you've done on every show, let everybody know a little bit about you and your story and what's going on. Tim Ray is the CEO and founder of the United Intention Foundation, which is a nonprofit, 501c3, free online community that provides unique tools and resources for individuals, businesses, schools, and teachers. They help individuals create and track and manifest their passions with a creative process of setting goals and intentions. They have a weekly, I believe it's referred to as an UI radio show that showcases inspirational and empowering topics and people like myself and Tim and Janet. They assist businesses with maximizing profits from the inside out. And lastly, they provide educational programs to schools and teachers that focus on creating, tracking, and following up on higher level goals. Now, I know that all sounded a lot, but it is, in truth, their story, as we learned last week. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my new man crush, who has an original background in psychology, who has brought forth this UnitedIntentions.org. I have some of the other information here in front of me, which tells me... what do we have here? That you are, that in fact, the man with the plan here, you have really set up a functioning, realistic, workable, doable program for human beings, because I don't know what you do with the animals, and that's a different show, to manifest. And I am hoping that from last week, you can hear the frustration in my voice. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a wonderful to be here.
You were saying?
It's wonderful to be here, and I really appreciate your bro romance and your man crush. It must be like, maybe with a straight guy, a straight person, or with a virgin. I don't know what it is. There must be something with a gay guy and always want to turn a straight guy. There must be some titillization
you know
going
what?
On there. I don't know.
Listen,
what it is.
I'll tell you something. That only happens with the gay dudes that don't get laid. So you're safe. Because Jesus, I have enough saved up for this and the next lifetime. Christ on a toast point.
No, I think that's hilarious. I love it. Thank you, man.
No, you know, it's funny. I don't get the chance, but you know, you're articulate, you're enthusiastic, you're my age. I don't get to meet other straight dudes who are in this positive thinking realm, metaphysica, that aren't gay. It's like a joke in music world. Like in the music world, guys, if you play, I'm not shitting you, in the music world, if you're in a conservatory, if you're in an orchestra, and you hear that somebody plays the organ and it's a guy, there is no chance he is straight on any level in any quantum physical universe, here or alternate. I'm not joking. There's a joke about being gay for a guy. It's, you know, the organists. But I have to tell you, you're so enthusiastic. You have this wonderful website, www.unitedintentions.org. If you go there, you're going to be impressed. You can click around. Everything looks fancy schmancy and slick. But it's obviously been given a lot of thought and a lot of attention. So, again, thank you for coming. Tell me how the hell you made the leap from student of psychology to this, and I'm going to use sarcasm, to this unbelievable realm of positive thinking.
Well, thank you. Wonderful to be here, Janet. Good talking with you again. And Jason, as always, you're my new bro romance here we got going on.
Yes,
here.
My new man crush.
That.
Damn it.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
I probably fell into the metaphysical world back in my late teens. I started out in self-help and then just kind of led right into that, just very smoothly into just the metaphysical. And now more so, the science, the quantum physics is really. I've gotten my eye, which is even expanded even further, even with more sound information.
We touched on that in the last one, but back up for a second. Like,
sure.
I want to know the aha moment that, because Janet can talk about her aha moment with books flying off the shelves. I could talk to you about my aha moment, which made me come to being a tarot reader. What was your aha moment metaphysically? Was it an auditory thing, a past life regression?
I was listening to a channel, Lazarus. I don't know if he's still around at all.
Oh,
back
Lazarus.
In the day, back
yeah,
in the
yeah, yeah. And Michael.
Yeah.
Dude, wasn't that during the Jay-Z Knight, Rampha whole era?
Yeah, well, was that early 90s, right? Late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So I was listening, and he was talking about manifestation, you know, kind of like Lester Hicks does these days, and she's much later on. But I was he was talking about the three elements of manifestation. It was hopefully it'll come to me. It was desire, imagination, and expectancy. And when you have you combine those three, the desire, imagination, expectancy, you have an opportunity, and you have an opportunity to start manifesting what you truly want. And that's, of course. He didn't talk a lot about the subconscious beliefs. That came more so when Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza come on board, talking more about that in the later days, later decade. I thought it was very intriguing. But it wasn't until I actually manifested something very big for me by using that process. I would jog around I was a starving college student or just finishing college, and I was jogging around my neighborhood, which was, you had to be really careful because you could, you know, we called it Suitcase City. They didn't call it Suitcase City for a reason, you know. And
Right.
So I just graduated with a bachelor in psychology and management, and I was just going, you know, I really don't know what I want to do. I was going to play real estate. I was working at a acute psychiatric ward for a while. And I'm like, you know, I really want to get into some management. I want to be managed. And I had no idea what it was, but I envisioned what I want to be doing. I wanted to wear a suit. I wanted to be managing people. I wanted to have immediate impact at a young age. I don't want to work somewhere for 15 years just to, you know, have some type of impact in what I'm doing. I wanted to just be a mover and shaker. And so it seems like weeks or maybe, you know, a couple of months, when I jog around, I'd just be using those elements, dude said, using my desire, using my imagination, letting it run wild, and then using my expecting it, right? And before I knew it, I get a call that, hey, come on up to Georgia through a friend I met over in Daytona Beach when I was over there. I was in Tampa at the time when I graduated college. And the opportunity showed up. I went to his assistant administrator position, AIT in training. And before I know it, I was in crisis management, and they threw me right in there, and I was – you know, I had to hire, fire, had to make decisions. We had state coming down on the different places, all these nursing homes that were in trouble, and we had to come in, clean them up. And I was doing, and a year later, less than a year later, I was doing exactly what I was imagining and desiring back when I was in college. And I even wrote it down. And that to me was, wow, this stuff works. And that's where I had the kind of understanding of metaphysics and how we create a reality, but I really didn't see it in action until I had that eye opener for me. And that was at a young age. That was like 20, 22, 23, 21 maybe.
Excellent. That sounds pretty. Yes, Janet, I see you on the line.
Yep. I was just thinking, when I was, let me see, how old was I? I'm maybe 19, 20 years old. I remember this whole concept of the law of attraction and intention setting, because when I went to work for my very first job, my real first job, they gave me a nameplate and my name was engraved on one side. And on the other side, it said, "Man moves toward and becomes like that which he sees and thinks about." And something so powerful hit me in that phrase. I don't know who said that. It never said on the plaque who it was from. But that thing
like
made me start questioning. It did sound sort of like, yeah, Shakespearean, but it could have been, Napoleon Hill for all I know. But I remember that saying hit me viscerally, as in there's got to be something more here. And it began my metaphysical journey. Well, which had already begun, actually, technically speaking, but it was just one of those things, like what you're saying, that experience that you had, Tim, where you actually create something. This opened my mind to being able to understand or think about or even ask the question, what am I creating? It was great.
No, and with 100%, and now over the years since then, I've been able to fine tune and avoid some of the secret traps, as we talked about last time, And I think at a certain point, you realize, okay, there's a lot to this manifestation process here, and I think it's not as simple and easy as just as everyone says, as we talked about. And I think once you get past a few of these hurdles, like for example, the Teal Swan called it denial based positive thinking. I think mm-hmm. when people get to the point when they're in the process of denial-based positive thinking, it's tough because it's so right now, it's so with the metaphysical circles, so many people I'm finding out are so caught up into that.
Would you give all of us pedestrians an example?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Well, for example, when we're taught in a lot of these metaphysical circles, you got to choose your right words. You don't want to let any net bad words come in, because it takes 17 seconds
right.
to manifest or to attract the like-minded thoughts. And in our realities, we have to realize that I've learned is that if we're truly creating our reality, like Benito Mercer says, we're truly creating everything
yes.
in this reality right now, then we're responsible for everything in this reality. That means I'm responsible for you, Janet.
Yes.
Everything. Even though
yes.
you guys are co-creators as well. But I've attracted you into my play for whatever period of time. And so I'm
I have some unpaid bills, by the way, if you haven't get around to it. So listen, Mr. Co-creator, Mr. Big Shot Tits over there. Okay? Sorry, I had to. Go ahead. Sorry.
when we get caught up into like some bad things that are happening in our lives or things aren't working out as well in our life, a lot of us are just so conditioned. We're scared of experiencing fear, because we know fear is low vibrational and it'll attract other like-minded fear thoughts. And so we use fear to avoid fear. And it's called denial-based positive thinking, where I can only think positively. I'm going to deny my reality and only think I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything the way it's supposed to be. And, and things aren't happening. Well, it's not happening because we're in denial. And we're not even aware.
Wait. Just hold the fucking phone. Back it up, sister. Back it up.
All right.
Yeah, I need a little more emphasis on the right syllable here. Back it up and talk to me. Did you just say out loud to me, I've done everything right
Well, a lot of the folks who get called.
Go ahead.
No. Finish your thought.
What I think I heard you say was, and it's reminiscent of, I think I heard it today at another point, was that I've done everything right, and yet I have not been able to manifest X, Y, and Z. Is that what you, in fact, just said?
For many people who get caught up into this phenomena or this silent crises of the denial-based positive thinking. Yeah, I mean, it sneaks up on you. You don't even realize it because we consider ourselves, a lot of people consider themselves in this movement very enlightened, and they've seen the power of our intentions and the power of manifestation at work. So it's not that we don't believe it doesn't work. It's just often some people who it's like simple as this. It's like when you are giving advice to your best friend or somebody you know very well, or they're giving advice to you. It's like we're so close to the problem, we can't see it, but our friend from a bird's eye perspective can nail us immediately because they're not caught up into the fog that we caught ourselves in. And so they're not in denial because they have nothing to deny because it's focused on you. Now, if you focus on them, they can easily get caught up into that too, you know, and you can pick it out. But it's the same phenomenon, but it's just that when people, like Eckhart Tolle says, when you're in a negative reality, let's just say a perceived negative reality, because everything's our perception of crisis. When you're in a perceived negative reality, you got three choices, and that's it. You either leave it, if you can.
Gin,
you
vodka,
you change it. Yeah, right.
Bourbon.
Those are the alternate universe three choices, by the way. But you leave it if you can. You change it if you can, or you accept it. Nowhere in there totally says that you ignore it and stick your head in the sand. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're not even realizing because saying, well, this is not working for me, so it can't be, it can't be me. It has to be something that's, or it has to be something that I'm bringing into my reality. I'm just not seeing the change. And then you get caught into that fear mode. And I've seen that happen with some of the folks we work with. And I've seen it happen to myself as well.
What do you think about that, Janet?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about how easy it is to get drawn into that because, it only takes you seeing that things aren't happening the way that you want them to happen to start that whole questioning process of, did I do something wrong? Is this, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that, except that idea of acceptance, which seems to be one of my freaking lessons in this life. Is not acceptable.
Oh, she wanted to say fucking. I'm going to tell you, I know her. She wanted to say fucking. Anyway. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, but, at least, this gives me an idea. Go ahead.
Okay, well, when I see people do it, often what I find, because they're so close to the problem, is that their denial is a little more so on themselves than it is of their they're denying the reality. Okay. They're denying the present moment. When you find yourself complaining, you're denying your present moment. When every time you complain, you're denying your present moment, whether it was a moment ago or it's a moment now, or it's going to be a moment, in a moment, but you're denying your present moment. And so I've seen people cause I'm, from a bird's eye view, it's easy for me to see that in another person than it is for myself. Right. So when I look at see other people, and we had the folks in another company of mine, that were caught up into that. This one gal, she was doing everything, she was doing everything right. She's just wondering why things aren't working well for her. And, I'm risking, I'm doing what I need, and it's not coming back. And what's pushing it always away, she's in the denial of that present moment, because when you're complaining, you're denying your present moment. That means you haven't accepted it or you haven't made those other two choices. And so,
I think Mr. Tim, you made a lot of people very unhappy just now. You just let everybody know that they're a bunch of whining, brattish, self-entitled, narcissistic individuals, which I don't personally disagree with you. Janet and I joke all the time because what do all of my postmenopausal women call in with Janet?
When am I going to get married?
Really? Wow. So
what?
Go ahead.
No, go.
Okay. What I see when a lot of that's occurring, and it's not so much gender specific, but I do see it a little more often in the female gender, is that they're giving up so much of themselves, and what's happening is they're giving so much of themselves up without allowing the receiving for that love. Because women are, in general, female gender is the receiving vessel. You know, they're supposed mm-hmm. to be receiving. They're supposed to be receiving, and we have created a society, and that's probably why a lot of the women are complaining, because we have created a society that's where the men now are not giving anymore. The men are thinking that they got to sit home, smoke pot, and eat food, and the women go out and work for them, right? The men aren't giving, the men aren't living their God-given energy of flowing, of giving, and the women are out working the two jobs and coming home and nobody's receiving, right? So we have this upside-down world right now of this an imbalance of giving and receiving on that level, and so it's easier to fall into that denial-based positive thinking, because if you're not comfortable with receiving, then, you know, you're not aware or comfortable with it. How are you going to know? Because to some people, it's so much easier to give than it is to receive, and vice versa. But I see that a little more often with the females, where they will actually catch themselves where they're giving their power away, and they're not even aware of it. They think giving my power to that person is going to help me later on, but they're giving their power away rather than slowing down, claiming their power back, and then realizing that they create everything. Every time they go down that victim road, they created that. And that they created it again. Look, they created it again. They created it again. And now the universe will keep throwing that back in our faces until we sit and we claim it as our own master creation. And that's when you got to let go of that denial, and you got to look at reality square in the face. I mean, chemtrails, satanic pedophilia, New World Order, everything else, straight in the face, and you got to say, okay, this is my reality. I am an individual, and I am a part of this collective consciousness, which is the ultimate reality for this period of time here on Earth, mm-hmm. or wherever mm-hmm. you're being. And if I deny any part of my collective reality, not only my own reality, then you use the stick your head in the sand, or close your eyes and you don't want to
your thumb up your ass. Go ahead.
Here you go. Then you're denying your reality. And I'm not saying you got to go solve the world's problems. I'm just saying you got to look at it for what it is, understand it, learn how you could, because it's your creation, learn how you can embrace it and love it. And that's called loving the demons. That's doing your shadow work. Doing the shadow work, loving your demons.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing you talk about this, and I can't help wonder when you say what you said, how much would you say accepting reality is of letting go of the ego?
Woohoo! That's a good question.
I know, deep thoughts
good question.
With Jason Levanis.
I would say not letting go of ego, because we need ego to understand our reality. See, our ego is our external sensors. We use our eyes, our hearing. We got to use our ego, because our ego only is our extended certain. Our ego doesn't recognize our subconscious. Our ego doesn't recognize our spirit. Our ego doesn't recognize anything. It can't. It's not supposed to. It's only built to interpret this three-dimensional world with our five senses and bring it back and make sense of it. So we need
correct.
Our ego.
But what I'm
if we don't
trying
have our ego,
to smell what
we,
I'm trying to smell what I'm cooking here.
I do, but it's not eliminating the ego. It's putting the ego in balance. It's when your ego, you put too much emphasis on the external factors, this three-dimensional world as being the end-all, and you're not tied into source. You're not tied into that sphere.
Yes.
You're not tied into
yes.
the higher self. You're not tied into making decisions from a soul level.
Yes. We are saying the absolute exact thing, because once you, in fact, in this death card, relinquish this false ego that is so incredibly attached to the physical body, you become more spiritual. The more spiritual, that is when the ancients talk about being able to manifest at will. Does that make any sense?
Listen, it does make sense. When your ego is in balance, as you said, you're in the flow and you're moving forward. And one thing I think Janet said earlier is, you know, she said something about expectations. I said, I agree. the more panic you get, the more nervous you get when you're going down that road and you're wondering why this reality isn't working out for you, the more likely it's going to you're going to narrow your expectations. You're going to narrow how you expect something to look like, because it's almost like the scared person's getting scared more and more and more, and they got to hold on to something more solid in their life. I got to define it. And the more you define it is that if I don't make that bill payment by 5 o'clock, you know, I'm going to die, right? Whatever the definition of expectancy is, you know, you have to totally say you got to die before you die. And like you said, ego death, it could be a death before, you know, and I'm not saying dying like physical death. I'm talking about whatever the worry, the concern or the issue is in your life. You got to die. You got to die first. Let it die. And then now when you let it go, then allowance comes in. You let go, allowance comes in. You let go, allowance then you hold on to it, and allowance comes in.
I want to lift something right off of your LinkedIn page, something that sort of jumped out at me. And I thought, ooh, I'd like to talk with Tim about this. We have about, just let everybody know, tell listeners, and, of course, keep you in the loop. We have about 25 minutes left to the show. I see that there are a lot of people in the queue, and I'm going to make an attempt to get to one or two readings. This topic is really far too fascinating to let the valuable time not be spent on information. So I thank all of you for listening to this sixth episode on the Death Card. Next week, I will be solo. And I will be finishing up the death card with the informational portion and doing a lot more reading. So if you've called in today and you don't hear from me, you, of course, can get in touch with me for a private reading. And you can also wait until next week. Anyway, getting back with Tim Ray, who is the CEO and founder of the United Intentions Organization, or Foundation, I should say. But the actual URL is www.unitedintentions.org. We have been waxing philosophical here today on this topic of intentions and me being, like so many others, a casualty of the secret war. Tim could hear my obnoxious frustration because I felt like I got gypped. I felt like I lost faith after, because I couldn't, you know, manifest what I needed to manifest. And then when you said, you know, it's all about, Jason, it's all about getting that subconscious, conscious mind to be aware of the intention, to get it in sync with the physical world so that you can, in fact, create it. So I'd like to just read this one line, which I was very like, okay. They're talking through on his page. He ends up saying benefits include gaining focus by watching positive guided intention videos by themselves or with others, bringing into the present moment and bringing the subconscious and conscious beliefs to create what we are intending into the present moment. Let us talk about this, because I have a feeling you have something to say about the words being present. It strikes me that with your background in Tola and within positive psychology and in this metaphysical realm that you have a way which I think would be interesting for my listeners to hear about the present moment. So tell me, if I were from Mars, how would you tell me what the present moment is and how to be in it?
Okay. I'll tell you a quick way how to get to it. Just close your eyes, start breathing, and then just focus on your breath. And when you're focused on your breath, you're actually feeling your breath come in, your lungs decrease, go out. You're in the present moment. You could just look outside, look at a beautiful flower, and just stare at it. And just notice all the details of it and all the beauty of it. You're in the present moment. You could sit and truly listen to your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend, and just clear your mind, without thinking about what you're going to say next, just take in every word they're saying and hear what they're saying. And just listen and hear what they're saying. Even if it's for the first time, you're in the present moment. There's present moments every present moment throughout our day. It's when, and it's not that we can't think of the future or we can't think of our past.
I like
you know,
that.
We have to. I mean, it's necessary in this three-dimensional world, in this linear world that we live in or perceive to live in. It's important that we recognize our past and future, because we can't set plans. We can't make appointments. We can't learn from our mistakes. But the thing is that we don't dwell, and we don't dwell in the future. And so we use totally called the clock time, future and past, but you use it for its purpose, and you bring it into the present moment. You use it for its purpose, you bring it back into the present moment. And so the present moment throughout our day, I'd have to say majority of the people, in my opinion, I don't know how we'd ever measure this, but I'd say majority of people are, 80% of the time not in the present moment throughout their day. Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe 90%, maybe 90
absolutely.
Or even higher, right?
Absolutely.
But what helps with that is meditation, yoga, all those things that people say what's great and how much I feel. It allows you to get out of the beta waves and get into the alpha and even the theta waves, which brings you back into the present moment. Now, not that you need to stay in a meditative state. You could be in a meditative state just by being in the present moment. You don't have to do all that but it helps you. It helps you bring you in that moment, at least slows you down to be able to appreciate just seeing and being with somebody. Look, have you ever stared, you both, this is a great example. We did this in Compassion in Action with the Twilight Brigade. And we just stood each other about maybe a foot away from each other for 30 seconds, and we just kept eye contact with each other. And we were we were programmed in the beginning just to say that focus on the soul in that person when you're staring at that person. Do not dart away in your eyes. I can't tell you how people were crying or someone so uncomfortable just to do that. You're forced to be in that present moment where you're like, wow.
I would be very interested to find out if Mr. Meisner stole that sort of, exercise, because there's a very famous acting exercise in the Meisner technique, Stanislavski derivative, and whereby we did that, in fact. So I can tell you I've done that, but I did not do it for metaphysical purposes. However, the results could not be denied, because there were people that did exactly what you just said. They broke out into tears, or they broke out into laughter. It was a really fantastic a journey. So I love what you have to say about being in the present. And when I think about being in the present, the card of the Hermit comes up, because in my deck especially, Tim, in the foreground is the three-headed dog Cerberus. And the symbology behind it, I think, is just so wonderful, because, yes, okay, he guarded, the River Styx and or the entrance to hell. Someone's got to do it, right? It's a tough job. But, Jesus, someone's got to do it. And interestingly enough, if you look at the card, one of the heads is looking backwards, is looking to the back. And it's his job to keep the thoughts and the worries and the stress of the past at bay, so you can stay in the present. The dog looking forward. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I could tell you when somebody who is anxious mainly throughout the day, they're lost in the future, and somebody who's depressed throughout their day, they're lost in the past. It's that simple. And
say that again
and
for
them,
our listeners. Say it again slowly and loudly for our listeners. One more time.
When you find or meet people who just kind of have that anxiety, that anxiousness in them throughout their day, they are lost in future thoughts. And the people who are depressed, saddened throughout their day, they're lost in past thoughts. And so,
You're hearing it from the horse's mouth, because the man has degrees in psychology, and he has been working with this kind of positive intentional work. To finish up the story on Cerberus, the dog looking forward keeps the thoughts of the future at bay, and then the dog in the middle stares him straight in the face, demanding that he stay in the present. And all the while, he is guarding that spirit. He's guarding that physical form to keep it safe, to let the spirit know that it can be safe enough to stay in the present. And I think what you said was pretty damn enlightening with respects to either depression or anxiety, of both, which I have suffered.
I've never heard. I never heard that dog that I never heard that type of story before with the dogs. In fact, I'd love to have like a model of it to be able to, because that's a great reminder of how important it is to stay in the present moment. That's brilliant. Love that. What is it called?
You know what
again?
You might be able to go online and go into Clash of the Titans, and maybe they have models that you can buy or something like that. But that is an image that is on my specific deck of tarot. But I'm going to shift gears real quick right now. We have about 15 minutes. I want everybody to hear about a project you're extremely proud of that is absolutely wonderful, that makes me angry as shit. I'm still angry about it, so don't think you're off the hook. I don't care what kind of bromance we have. I'm angry that you didn't come along, 50 years ago, and start to implement some of these educational. Don't you laugh, damn it! I dare you. Tell everybody, please, about your educational programs. What it is that you're doing? Sure. How it is that you're doing it?
Sure. Jennifer Kramer, along with ourselves, a team at the foundation, and Dr. Milhouse and a handful of other folks, put together what we call the Imagine-If program. And the Imagine-If program is basically a 15 module program, an SEL, that's called Social Emotional Learning Program, that can easily be implemented into schools side by side with what they're doing with their schoolwork. And it basically shows children from first grade to 12th grade how their thoughts create their reality, or how their thoughts can create the reality, and how changing their perception on a situation can help change their experience, what they're experiencing, whether it's bad grades, being bullied, whatever the case may be. It's basically bringing the process of creation, tracking, and manifestation into their lives at a very young age, and empowering them to understand that they can create anything they truly want.
I want those three elements again. Say them loud, say them clear, say them with confidence so my listeners can hear how the hell to manifest. Go.
What I just said, the create, the track, and manifest. Yeah.
Yes.
Track
and manifest.
Yes, and what's great about the process, and we break it down for the children to understand. We may not use intention. We may use goal. We may instead of having them still themselves and get into a meditative state, we'll have them just be quiet and be mindful for a moment. And instead of saying just think of the opposite belief, we'll have them put on these rose-colored glasses. We say, okay, how can we perceive this? How can we perceive this different? And
talk to me about how many years you have with respect to this. Like, how much of a data feedback do you have now with respect to results with these kids? Talk to me about sort of what you have seen.
Right. Well, we've done it with a couple of kids already with us who we just finished the program, literally just finished it, and we're actually rolling it out on 5/21. And we're gathering data. We're gathering data as we speak. In fact, we have Dr.
What is
Milhouse.
What is the name of the program? If our listeners are going to go to your website, it's called.
Sure, it's called the Imagine If program.
And Imagine a If web, program.
Yes. And there's a separate website just for it called UI Education, and it'll explain throughout that. But what's nice is that we have a great format for collecting and analyzing information as well as research information, and it's all on the
Fantastic.
Website. And what's nice is that we have public schools a little bit challenging, but we have homeschools and private schools who are just taking this and running with it. And we have
I can only imagine the more erudite, higher vibrational thinking parents who are doctors, lawyers, what we like to call it in Italian, conoscenti. You know, I could see them totally grabbing on. You love it. Totally grabbing on. On to this. I have a caller. We have about 11 minutes left, which sucks because I really wanted to talk a little bit more about my nephew, this love I have for my nephew, and how to learn how, because what I've been doing since I spoke to you last time was I started to try and feel the feelings. I envisioned, you're going to love this. I envisioned my body as a car. And I envisioned my gas tank getting filled up with the kind of emotion, unadulterated, unfettered emotion and love that I have for my nephew. And once I felt all of that inside of my chest, in the back of my neck, in my head, and in my heart, I then stated my want, or my what, as J. Janet would say, and I allowed those feelings that I had to surround that want, which is to have 1 to 2 paid readings a day.
Right.
And I have been using that as the gas in my tank with respect to my thoughts.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if that needs to be tweaked, and it probably does, because I'm not on your website just yet.
This is your experiment. This is your experiment. This is what's so important. This is your experiment and your results, and this is what you're doing for yourself. And exactly, don't worry about my site or worry about anybody else or what their take is.
All right.
Just focus on your state of being, and you go with this, and you're doing exactly what you're being moved to do.
Awesome. All right, so I'm going to get back to you on that and let you know about it. But we have, like I said, about 9 minutes left. I'm going to bring in my sister wife. And if all of you out there don't know what that is, then I suggest you figure it out. However, I'm going to bring in my sister wife, Rachelle, who is one of our most fantastic supporters of Janet's show and myself. Actually, Tim, Rachelle was the individual who introduced me to Janet. Rachelle, it sounds like R-A-Y. It's got that extra sassy New York flavor to it. Rachelle. she and I have known each other for 25 years or so. She bought me my first reading with Janet. And so it is because of Rachelle that we have this show today in essence. She made it all happen. Rachelle, my sister wife, are you there?
You know, she's on a bus, Jason, so she's not going to actually be able to talk with you. So she typed out the question to me. Yeah, I've got her question sheet. She texted it to me. Oh, no,
gotcha.
She says she's free. Okay, so never mind. Let's bring her in live. Rachelle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry about the confusion. But I can't
Parker.
So I saw it on the bus.
Ms. Parker, how are you today in this 80-degree weather?
I'm well. It is very warm, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Hello, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Rachelle. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So I guess I'm listening to you say things about the ego and letting it go, and also about the fear, I guess the same. So if it's a certain amount of them that you are to experience, how do we differentiate between the two, like the good ego and bad ego, the good fear and the bad fear, with staying in the moment? And I don't know.
Well, I mean, I see where you're going. I don't know if I have an answer for you other than to say that I myself have learned how to distinguish between that by my own feelings within my own gut or my sacral area for me in that sense. But you may formulate your answers through maybe your heart chakra or maybe in a higher, different area of your body. But let me ask you this question, Rachelle. When think of an example of a fear that you may be a little bit confused, whether it's valid or when I say word valid, all of it's valid, whether it's you think it's unhealthy fear or healthy fear. You have that example in your head. You don't have to say it out loud. But you have that example in your head?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. So when you allow yourself, say for the unhealthy fear, allow yourself just to embrace it. I mean, just totally, just like it was a lost child, embrace that unhealthy fear and let it just go through your body when you have a time to settle you down. I know you have to do it right now because you're probably on a bus with a bunch of people. But just allow that when you have time, allow that to go through your body and see where it resonates, see where it kind of settles. And then do the same thing with that healthy fear. And then if you can find, and if you do see a distinction between the two, then it may be an indicator of that road. You know, some people call it your internal guidance system or, you know, your GPS inside internal guidance system. But and some people call it human design, as they teach you different area parts of your body where each person has their own areas, like mine's sacral. But you could sense it. If you do sense it, then you could find your own answers. And me or no one else could really give you those answers. It's really going to come from you.
Okay. And are you also saying then that some fear resonates in different parts of our body can mean different, I guess, degrees of fear or different spaces that we are afraid?
So you're asking
like if I'm trying to, I'm sorry. backlash.
Well, you're asking if certain parts of your body could read the fear in a different way. Is that what you're saying? Asking?
Yes.
Okay. I believe so. I believe it kind of depends on the type of fear, and also depends on how your makeup is on an individual basis. You know, some may be a lot more common. It's a gut instinct. It's in your solar plex area, or some may have more of a feel it in their, in the head. They get headaches, whatever, or they get a feeling there. But I do think it's at different levels for different people. I don't think it's just the same for everyone. And that's why I think when a lot of folks come out there and they say, well, do this, do that, and then you'll know what's going on. I don't really prescribe to that because I don't think that's accurate. I think it's an individual experience. I think you got to experiment with yourself, and I think you have to kind of learn to build a confidence with yourself that I can distinguish between what's healthy for me and what's unhealthy for me. I can with confidence understand that my ego, I know how to balance my ego enough, and when it gets a little out of line, I know how to wheel it back in. I know how to tap into source, into God, Goddess, all there is, and feel that energy of that unconditional love, and how I could use that in my day-to-day decisions in any ordinary day, and put that which puts you in that present moment. So it's all going to have to come from you. That's the work for you, I hate to tell you, but that's going to be your work.
So it sounds like it's about trusting, because sometimes like if something bubbles up, I may say, that means don't do it, like my spotted sense is tingling, right?
Right,
or
yes.
When really it could mean do it, because it's saying yes.
And experiment, do it, and then you fall on your face, and then you learn, hey, you know what, maybe that meant not to do it. And then don't do it, and you lose out on an opportunity, and that might have meant to do it. So you're going to have to experiment. You're going to experiment.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, I spoke to Thomas Campbell, and he's a brilliant man. He's a physicist, NASA physicist, retired, and he wrote a book, My Big Toe, and he's helped create and organize the Monroe Institute. And he said, when you're doing these out-of-body experiences, he said, you're naturally going to have a certain level of fear. And he goes, the only antidote to fear is courage. And so you're going to have to, courage is basically not, you're still going to feel the fear. You just say, you're going to go above that fear anyway.
You go through it. You absolutely go through it. It's something that Janet preaches all the time, when we talk about the human design aspect. Speaking of which, to everyone out there, I have about 3 minutes left. I want to let everybody know to tune in tomorrow for my gorgeous, voluptuous, sweet, delicious Janet Hickox, who on her show, Living Astrology, tomorrow night at 4 p.m. Pacific and at 7 p.m. Eastern. She has a wonderful sort of I'm excited because she's bringing couples on. She might even use me as a guinea pig. And we're going to talk about how people connect circuitry and how, am I right on that, Janet?
Yep, how we connect sex, relationships, and love.
Ooh,
it's all electromagnetic.
Because, when Janet first discussed it with me, Tim, and she explained it to me, at the end of the day, you are who you are. Electro-vibro-magnetically hooked up, whoever you are, but it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing, meaning you need to be interacting. You need to be interacting with people in order to get this circuitry jazzed. And it's been fascinating because we looked at my sister and myself. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about it, Tamara. And so Janet's looking at relationships. I'm very, very excited. I hope even you, Tim, can sort of listen in because I know that the human design thing is relatively new for you. Everybody out there, I don't know what else to say except I'm going to be buying posters of you. Anybody who's gone to his LinkedIn page, go, oh my God, son of a bitch. I mean, I look great for fucking 49. I know I look like a retired model, but this son of a bitch looks like the Marlboro's man's more handsome brother. So don't even talk. I didn't want to hear it. Shut up. Okay, so if you go to his LinkedIn, you'll see his beautiful face. Looks like the Marlboro man. It has been incredible. I have about 50 seconds left. Tim, God bless you for the work you do. Thank you for letting me abuse
you.
Thank you. Thank you for being in our lives and giving us this little fucking golden nugget. Everybody that hears the show, you can go back to it. It gets logged into the site. You can go back and listen to it for all the pertinent information. Next week, I'm finishing up the Death card. Please check out Tim at his websites, as we said before. And much past that, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Tim, for today.
Thank you. Jason, thank you. A wonderful time. I tell you, I'm looking forward to coming back. And Janet, looking forward to seeing you too. And you guys coming on my show too here soon. So thank
you know
you
what?
So
yeah, that might be fun. And we could maybe we'll double donger. We'll do it. And that'll be fun. So we got about 1 second left. Thank you again. And have a blessed week.
Bye, everyone. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to
What are you laughing at?
You have been listening to the weekly edition of Titillating Tarot with Jason Levanis. For private one-on-one spiritual guidance and feng shui consultation, he can be contacted at www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. That's www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. Thanks, and have a blessed week.
So, Tim, anytime, I mean, I know you have your own show, but anytime you feel you want to come on my show and discuss any topic at all at any point, I will always work you in somehow.
Absolutely. Listen, I could talk about anything. You just lead the way, and I'll jump in.
Well, like I said, yeah, especially if you have anything new and exciting happening with your foundation,
okay, yes.
You know, blah, blah,
I
blah.
Sure will.
Don't even think twice. And if you can't spend the whole hour,
okay.
I understand because you're busy. You know, we'll have you on for a half hour, whatever.
All right. Sounds fantastic.
All right, man.
Listen, guys, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'll be reaching out to you, me and Jennifer will, and we'll get you guys getting rocking and rolling.
Awesome. I'm going to try and get on your website and see if I can't work some of my process with it. So it'll be fun.
Hey, there you go. All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Big hug.
All right. See
big
you guys
hug. Later. Be good. Bye, bromance.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
I got two free smartphones when I switched to Metro PCS.
One for him and one for me.
It's not for you. It's for people like me.
And parrots.
I knew I should have gotten a dog.
Get two free Samsung Galaxy J3 Prime smartphones when you switch two lines to Metro PCS and enjoy a 4G LTE network that's more reliable than ever before. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network are active on Metro PCS in past 90 days. See store for details, terms, and conditions.
Meet Lauren Askenosi of Askenosi Chocolate.
Our dream is to make chocolate that not only tastes good, but does good. We source our cocoa beans directly from small farmers and share the profits back with them.
At American Family Insurance, we believe your dreams are the most valuable things you will ever own. So today, we're supporting Lauren's dream.
If people want to get involved, they can just buy some of our chocolate.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find yours at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.